Good morning. You're listening to the Connect FM show, the Contact show on Connect FM. And we are on 96.7 or 99.7, whichever gives you the best signal. Last week, we had the honor of having Mr. John Straub, who is our local representative of American Promise. And we had an informative show talking about how we can rein in outlandish secret spending on political campaigns. And he's looking to develop a constitutional amendment, and his organization has 25 states on board. And when they get to the magic 38 number, they can have Congress take action to limit the transfer of money into political action committees secretly. So that was interesting to hear, and that would be wonderful if they could pull that off, because as you know, we're spending billions every election year for president and even for our senatorial campaigns. So that was an interesting show. This week we have Matt Reed, who is the founder of the First Class Children's Foundation. And we've all been hearing about him for several years and the good work that he does in the Du Bois area school district. Matt, I'd like to welcome you to the show.
I'm super happy to be here.
Well, we're thrilled to have you, and we're excited to hear all about your program. First, we'll go to a commercial, and then we'll come back and we'll dive right in.
LifespanFamilyServices.com provides foster care and adoption services throughout this area. Lifespan helps train you, support you, and works with you to make you a quality foster parent. If you have any interest in fostering, please call us today at 814-375-1314. We have a foster parent here today, and I'd like to ask, what is one thing that you thought was the most important reason to use Lifespan Family Services as your foster care provider?
Whenever my husband and I were researching foster agencies to work with, we were drawn to Lifespan. And then whenever we began to reach out, Lifespan was very responsive in getting back to us and being very patient while they walked us through the steps that we needed to take in order to become a approved foster parent.
Was it an easy process?
Yes, with the guidance of our caseworker, we were able to take the trainings, receive our clearances, meet all of our home requirements in a very timely manner.
So folks, if you'd like to foster, we will help you on your journey to become a quality foster parent. LifespanFamilyServices.com.
We're back on the Contact Show. I'm Pat Shea, your host. And if you just joined, today we have Matt Reed of the First Class Children's Foundation. He's our guest, and he's going to tell us all about his organization. Matt, let's start with the history. What sparked you starting the First Class Children's Foundation?
Well, Pat, you know, over the course of the years, I had started organizing local car shows for the area. And what I started with was the car shows to benefit local nonprofits. And over the years, we really did that. We donated the earnings from our car shows to like the Josh Martino Scholarship Fund or the Du Bois Free Medical Clinic. But then there was a specific need that came up over at the Du Bois school district at the Oklahoma Elementary School, where the teachers were saying that they needed new book sets. And what a book set is it's like 30 copies of one book. And so what we decided to do was we decided to replace those book sets for them and get them, you know, new, fresh book sets for their classrooms. And ever since I did that, I got the idea that, hey, you know, maybe I start my own nonprofit and start deciding, you know, where the money goes and who would benefit from it. And, you know, I wanted to be a part of the school districts. I love the Du Bois School District, of course, and just started my programs from there.
Well, that is fantastic. And, you know, in today's world with electronics and our cell phones and the tablets and the computers, it's great to encourage reading. And I've seen your ads for your book machines, and I am thrilled to see that there are some kids that are still reading books. I know at my house, we do have books, and the kids do read it, but sadly, they'd prefer to grab a tablet. But we do try to push them to read, but that's been a little bit of a challenge. Have you noticed anything different? You've been doing this for several years now. Have you seen any change in maybe an approach to get the kids to be interested in books?
Well, what's interesting about that, Pat, is that I also, like, my regular day job is I work in children's publishing. I work for Scholastic. And so, Yeah, there's a, you know, a big push for, you know, ebooks or Kindles or things like that in the reading community, but it's mostly for older people. What we've noticed with children is children still like the core experience of having a physical book in their hands. And what we've also noticed through my work there and through my work with First Class Children's Foundation is that children are 90% more likely to read a book that they pick. So choice is at the forefront of every decision that we make. Every book that we give away is a book that the child has chosen for themselves to read. And as long as you give, the student or the child, their own dominion to choose whatever they would like to read, then, you know, we have successful readers and we make lifelong readers and we start creating, you know, at-home libraries and book collections for these kids that they can be proud of. Reading becomes kind of cool in a sense. You know, especially with our book vending machine program, which is really supplemental to our main flagship program, Imagination Box, we go into a school, we'll give away an Imagination Box to every child in that school. Now, in the Imagination Box, children get school supplies that they need, but they also get to pick 3 books from custom flyers from us, and they choose the books. So each box is customized to each child's individual personality. They get those 3 books, they have those books, they get to keep them home, take them, put them on their shelf, enjoy them, love them. But then when they come back to school, they also have the opportunity to earn tokens. And then the tokens trigger a free vend from the book vending machine in their elementary school. And, you know, they're able to build on their home libraries with that experience.
I did not realize that you let the kids pick which book they chose to read, but I can see that that's the key.
It is the key.
They're already interested in a particular subject or theme, and you've got it. And they get to pick it. So they're certainly much more likely to read it if it's something that they've already got an interest in.
Yeah, and we curate it. So it's these are the best books in children's publishing right now. You know, so it's like it's not stuff that you've never heard of. It's definitely good things that the children can be interested in. You know, there's regular chapter books, there's picture books, there's graphic novels, there's something for everybody. And that's really the key is to give them the opportunity to, you know, read, own, but choose. Choice is at the forefront of everything that we do.
Yes, spark an interest and they should maintain it. That's good to hear. And I'm embarrassed I didn't know that. So that was great that you brought that up. Is there any books that seem to have a timeless appeal to the kids? I remember Frog and Toad Together and the Hardy Boys and Nancy Drew. And are those still a thing or are they long gone?
Yeah, I mean, those ones, obviously they have a legacy to them. Really what we've noticed over the course of the years, especially with Scholastic and you know, children choosing, is that, you know, we've reinvigorated series that used to be chapter books into graphic novels, for instance. So Babysitter's Club is really being heavily re-released as a graphic novel. These are formats that children have really leaned towards over the course of the years. Every year, I feel like it's Dogman that's our number one book that we give away. So whatever the latest Dogman is by Dave Pilkey seems to be the one that the children choose the most. And I mean, there's core titles for sure. I mean, there's I Survived, there's Who Would Win by Jerry Pallotta, who we just had over at Juniata Elementary School at the end of last year. And it's just, you know, creating experiences for children that they'll definitely remember. And obviously positive experiences at school are the best thing for the kids.
And that sounds like Scholastic has come up with that fantastic marketing idea of taking something that kids already enjoy and are familiar with and make it even more interesting.
Yeah, it's like their parents read the book whenever they were younger, and now it kind of transcends generations, and we put it in formats the kids are interested in today.
I'm sure that's very helpful as well. I'm sure the themes of the books are much different than when I was a kid. But it needs to change, or they're not going to read them.
Correct.
So that is good. And Matt, you have other programs too. I do like the book vending machine. I love the idea of them earning a token and then getting to pick a book. That is a good incentive for them to. I know good behavior was one of your issues, wasn't it? You were recognizing kids that did something.
Yeah. So originally the program kind of originated from if a child was caught being good, they got a token. The token triggered a free vend from the machine. They could pick whatever book that they wanted to. You know, in this, I let the schools kind of decide. So the elementary schools here in Dubois kind of decide what they do with their machine and how they give away their tokens. They have programs that they kind of let that ride with. I know over at Juniata, for instance, every kid gets a birthday book. So Dr. Anzinger over there, who's the principal, she rewards every kid with a token on their birthday, and then they get to choose their book, which is a fun way to give away books too. Just any way that we can get, you know, more books in the hands of kids in the Dubois School District while also promoting kindness, random acts of kindness, is super important to us.
And you're making it fun, which should also encourage reading the books. So it sounds like you've got a great plan. You also do another program. I think I heard you mention it was called Kicks. Can you mention that one?
Yeah, it's a lot different from, you know, children's literature, of course. But I've been a sneakerhead my whole life, love shoes. And, you know, at one point in time, we had noticed that there was a need specifically at the Dubois middle school level where, you know, I had heard that, you know, students were coming into school and, you know, they just didn't have great shoes. You know, one story that sticks out to me is an educator told me that they saw a child come in, get off the bus, and they had duct tape on their shoes. And so then they took them over to like the clothing closet at the time, and they were going to give them a new pair of shoes, but they didn't have the size for the child. And so what they did have was they had a pair of these pink boots, and those fit the kid. And the kid, you know, they were just like, yeah, you can't take the pink boots. You know what I mean? It was a boy. And he was like, but, you know, he's like, could I take them for today? Because, you know, I have to run the mile in gym class. And I heard that kind of broke my heart. But that particular educator left that day, went over to the shoe store, picked up a pair of, you know, athletic sneakers for the child. Which is really great initiative on their part. And so I started thinking to myself, man, you know, I have a bunch of pairs of sneakers, and I thought, you know, wouldn't it be cool if I could also take, you know, my passion or my love for sneakers and give away sneakers to kids at the middle school that need them. And so we started the Kicks program, and through the Kicks program, we give away Nike, Jordan, and Converse sneakers. We have a display case right at the front entrance of the school. The children can look at them, see them, and then if they're picked, they come down, they get sized, and they get a new pair of really nice sneakers. And what that does is it increases the confidence in the students. You know, the middle school is kind of a touchy age, so you want to make sure that the kids feel great to be at school and to have great confidence. I think that it starts with a great pair of sneakers.
I have a quick story about that I'll tell you. I was a bit of a nerd when I was in school, and I had gone to a private Christian school. And when I went into ninth grade, I didn't own a pair of jeans, and I didn't own a pair of sneakers because we weren't allowed to wear those at the Christian school. So I went through the first half of the school year wearing my Dockers and my loafers, and at Christmas, my mother got me a pair of Lee jeans and a pair of Nike sneakers. And when we went back to school, I wore my Nike sneakers for the first time ever and my Lee jeans, and the class stood up when I came into the classroom and clapped, and they said, Shay has Nikes. And I didn't even really notice that I was standing out and wasn't part of the crowd. But I learned that day when they all stood up and clapped because I was getting with the routine. So I can see how that would help a kid feel good about themselves and feel like they fit in rather than wearing the duct tape and looking like an outcast.
Yeah, it's not so much about, you know, trendy. It's really about the confidence that it gives the students whenever they get a nice pair of sneakers that fit and that are comfortable to them and that they can be proud of, for sure.
I work with foster children, and one thing that we have noticed repeatedly is a lot of times the kids that are in the child welfare system, they're a little bit rougher on their clothing than maybe the general population. And one of the complaints I hear often is, wow, they go through sneakers like once a month, I have to buy new shoes. Do you find that that's an issue, that the kids are, I don't know, just playing awfully rough and maybe running their sneakers into the ground?
You know, it's tough to say. It's tough to say exactly why a child would need a pair of shoes. But, you know, there have been times, you know, that I've been told of because I don't actually give them away. I have a point person at the school that takes care of all that for me. But, you know, I've heard of, you know, blowouts where the air bubble in their shoes blows out, or that the sole of their shoes start to separate, you know, because these kids are rough on them. But always happy to give, you know, kids a fresh start in a great pair of sneakers.
Gotcha. And that makes sense. I know in my day, I would stop my bike with my shoes, and that wasn't good on the sole. And I remember sticking my shoes on the tailpipe of my uncle's motorcycle, and that burn a hole in them. So you never know what's going to happen. So you obviously have to have some fundraisers. Do you have any fundraisers coming up that you'd like to mention?
Absolutely. So this weekend, we're over at Delaney Toyota on Sunday. And that's August 9th. And we're having a car show over there. It's our first car show that we've ever done with them. It's called the Delaney Summer Showdown. And it's a car show with 25 classes. And, you know, registration runs from 9 a.m. to noon. And then we have the show from noon to 3:30. And that's one of the events that we use to help us raise funds so we can buy school supplies and buy sneakers for the kids. And yeah, that's really the major one that I wanted to talk about today, was the car show over at Delaney Toyota, Delaney Summer Showdown, the car show. This Sunday starts at 9 if you want to register, 9 to noon, and then the show is going to go from noon to 3:30 for any spectators that might want to drop by over on the Boulevard.
Yes.
Or no, the Beaver Drive in Dubois.
Gotcha, yes, the Beaver Drive. And what a better place to have a car show than at a car place.
So absolutely.
That makes sense.
Absolutely.
I got to ask you, is there still some genre with the cars that's super appreciated and everybody runs to the 1960s Mustangs? Or is there a time frame that seems to dominate?
Well, I'll tell you what. There's a guy that comes to the show sometimes, and I only know him as a guy named Hemi Bob. But when Hemi Bob shows up, he brings extraordinary vehicles that everybody seems to crowd around. They'll have two big engines sitting on them, Hemis, of course, supercharged, whatever it is. But when that guy shows up to a show, you can tell that it's going to be a good one for sure. And, you know, he'll bring them in on like a trailer, pull them down, and everybody just goes nuts for his stuff for sure.
Ah, well, that would be exciting to see something unique like that. And you probably have lots of unique cars.
We have so many great cars and, you know, patrons and participants, people that have come to our car shows for 10 plus years, people that come and help us, that judge, people that have gotten on board with first class and, you know, they've donated school supplies to us and things like that. So it's really a great community. The car community is really what we owe all of the success of First Class Children's Foundation to, because without the fundraisers that we have over the course of the summer, it would be very difficult for us to have these programs at the Dubois School District.
You definitely have benefited from community support, and I see that support growing for you each year. And I guess that's good because you get to reach more kiddos, and that's certainly what you need to do. Now, you mentioned that you're at all the schools, so you are reaching K through 12, is that right?
Yeah, I reach K through 12. The program that we do up at the Dubois High School is called Ripple Effect. And what's great about Ripple Effect is it's big cases of prizes that are up there in their library. And so in their library, we have like a whole wall. It's got first class logos and Dubois logos. And then there's these beautiful cases that I had custom made. And inside the cases, there's sneakers from our Kicks program. There's Dubois Beavers merchandise that I've designed. There's headphones, gift cards, things that the kids are interested in. And that's especially interesting at that level, because with Ripple Effect, it's all about an act of kindness, and the act of kindness and what its influence has on the overall student body and culture of the school. And so really an act of kindness, it really touches three different people: the person that does it, the person that receives it, and then the person that sees it. And, you know, children are nominated by their peers for random acts of kindness. And then, you know, it goes through a committee. The committee decides who gets the prizes. And then once every 9 weeks, they bring a bunch of kids down, and the kids are allowed to pick sneakers or headphones. And, you know, we've had great experiences with this program. You know, children have, you know, given their choice away to different students. We've given away a lot of great things from that program. And then, you know, at the end of the year, we'll do a big grand prize where we give away something really cool to two members of the student body.
That is fantastic. We're going to go to a commercial message, and we'll be right back after this break.
Hi, folks. Are you having problems with your child at home? Is their behavior a problem? Are you at your wit's end? If so, call us for more information. Community County Services. We provide family-based mental health. Call for information at 371-8066. We work to help you keep your family together in a healthy way. Community County Services, 371-8066.
Okay, we're back on the Contact Show.
They were best friends.
Just joined. We have Matt Reed, who is the founder and the director of the First Class Children's Foundation. He has been explaining the history and the different programs that he offers, and he started to get into the impact, and I am thrilled with his programs. He's encouraging kids to read and put their cell phones down for a while, which is something we could all benefit from. I laugh at that Norman Rockwell modern version where they have the family seated around the Thanksgiving table and every one of them has their cell phone in their hand and not talking to each other. So encouraging books and anything else is very good. I like your incentives for rewarding positive behavior, and I like to hear that the kids sometimes will trade something that was very meaningful to them to another kid to help them out. Do you have a quick story on any experience that really stands out when the kids have gotten their sneakers?
Well,
you told the story about the pink boots.
Yeah.
and that was a big incentive.
There was a child who they reached out to me and said, "Hey, this kid really needs a pair of sneakers. They just started at the school. They don't speak English." And I hadn't filled the case for that year. Typically, we fill the case around November or so for the KICS program. So they called me at home. The secretary over there is a friend of mine. She called me and said, "Hey, do you have something in like a size 7? I said, "Sure, I'd come over." And this child's there, and he had just transferred in. I guess he was Ukrainian. And so he had his cell phone. We mentioned cell phones, but he had his cell phone, and him and I were communicating through Google Translate. So I was, you know, asking him how the shoes fit in Google Translate, and then I was letting him read, what I had said in his native language. So that technology really helped us to break a barrier. And that's one of the few pairs of shoes that I've personally given away. Like I said, typically the school takes care of that. But I was over there for that one, and that was very touching to me to be able to go there, not only just to break a language barrier, but this particular child had just moved to town, and he had just gone to the Dubois School District. And what a great experience for him to have. To be, you know, welcomed into the school the way that he was, have everybody be able to communicate with him in a positive way, and then also go home with a fresh, brand new pair of sneakers. I mean, he just had to be over the moon.
I'm sure that made him feel really welcome and made him want to come back the next day.
Absolutely.
So that is a great story. And we don't have many foreign students in our school district that I'm aware of.
It's a growing population. It's really a growing population because there's, you know, programs where they've brought in like medical professionals from other areas, and more students have been joining, you know, with maybe a language barrier.
So, First Class Children's Foundation, reaching kids that have a need and helping them learn to read and hopefully set them on a lifelong course of reading. Matt Reed is the director and founder, and we appreciate you coming today.
I appreciate you having me, Pat. Thank you.
Yes, thanks for your information. It's been very informative.